Turn with me to a scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 for a few verse for a text for my subject this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Here it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and wherewith even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's pray. Almighty God, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you have given your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to bring peace to our hearts this morning. We thank you, Father, for the reality of your peace in our lives today. And we pray, Father, you'll continue to go with us and be a blessing and show us the way that we might walk in truth, glorify your name, and be a blessing to one another. Bless this word, make it an inspiration to each of our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Brother Larry talked about love. We've heard about love. And I believe love is very closely related to the subject that I want to talk about today. I believe that love, joy, and peace are three elements of our Christian experience that are like a down payment for heaven. They are eternal. Love, joy, and peace will not stop when we die. They will only be multiplied in a much greater sense than what we already experience in here. And this peace this morning that we want to talk about, Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus, his one name, he says he is the Prince of Peace. And you know, as we talk about love having different aspects of its definition, I believe peace also does. I believe that we talk about peace, in the political sense or the sense of a world sense, where if two countries aren't fighting each other, they're at peace. That's one kind of peace, I guess, whenever you just get along. The world talks a lot about peace. People want to make peace and live together peacefully. That is a beautiful thing. Peace is a beautiful thing. But I believe this peace that comes by Jesus Christ is a peace that comes only whenever our soul is in spiritual harmony with the Almighty God. This is the peace that we want to talk about this morning, that peace that comes when our soul is in spiritual harmony with Almighty God. And that only comes one way. There's only one way that we ever experience that kind of peace, and that is through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace because he's the only source of that kind of peace. That peace that brings us into spiritual harmony with the Almighty God is a deep spiritual stability And it's something that stands, it stays, something that endures, something that endures for time and eternity. That true spiritual peace that comes by harmony, spiritual harmony with God. In Romans, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only access we have to that kind of peace. That spiritual peace is by faith, justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know by nature, outside of Jesus Christ, we are enemies with God. We are at enmity with God. In Romans talks about that. It says, but while we were yet sinners, while we were in sin, living in sin, God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved us while we were yet sinners, and because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored to a relationship of peace with God because of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of God's love for you and I in giving his only begotten Son, that we have that peace restored. That relationship is restored. We have that restored relationship. We have that harmony with the Almighty God, that spiritual harmony restored because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is that deep, abiding peace between our hearts and our Creator that cannot be shaken. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be destroyed by the circumstances of life or anything that comes into our life. That is a sure foundation. It's something that will stand. It is the ultimate fulfillment of Christ's work here on the earth. As Prince of Peace is to bring peace into our hearts and to establish our restored relationship with the Almighty God. And because of that peace that we have with our Maker, we're able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk together, to live together, to live in harmony, to live our life in peace and rest. And this morning, I guess I speak out of my heart this morning because of the experience that I've been through in the past year, the last several years, with all the upheaval of emotions and experiences of my wife's sickness and sufferings and death and the grief, the sorrow, the everything that we went through in the past years. The one thing that stands out to me so amazing through it all is that the peace of God has been unmoved. It's been a firm foundation. It was that way in my wife's experience, to the things that she went through, from the time of her diagnosis, all the way through her treatments, her sicknesses. It was an amazing journey of peace. The peace was secure. It was settled. It was unmoved. It was a beautiful foundation of that could not be changed. It's that peace with God is it's such a beautiful foundation. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to endure sickness, suffering, sorrow, grief, loss, whatever we experience. Yes, there's emotions. There's grief. There's sorrow. There's tears. There's loneliness. There's hurts. There's pain. But on the underlying foundation of it all, the peace with God is absolutely awesome. It is an absolutely awesome experience. That peace with God, it's unshaken, it's unmoved, it's undisturbed. It is a rest, it is a satisfaction, it is secure in eternal life. It is secure in Jesus Christ. And I speak out of that experience this morning in adoration and worship to God for that satisfaction of the soul, that harmony that we can have with God, that peace of that rest, that satisfaction of the soul. It's such a beautiful, beautiful experience to know that peace that we have, it can take us through anything. And it is going to, it's not a, it going to be with us here, but it's going to be with us throughout all of eternity. It's only going to be multiplied. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get greater. It's only going to be more in the future. It will not get less. It will only get more as we walk with God. It will only get stronger. It will only be more more pronounced and more defined as we walk with God. It's only going to get better. That peace with God, it was absolutely amazing. But like I said, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy. That doesn't mean everything is going to go the way we want it to, the way we like it to. The peace with God, God never promised us that the skies will always be blue. God never promised us that it's always going to be, that everything is going to go well. God promised us trials and tribulations. And I believe especially in the day that we're living today, I believe we need to realize that we're going to be facing difficult times. Our world is corrupt and it's evil. And there's much coming upon our land that we could be facing very difficult times. I just listened to a message in the last week or so that I saw that Moe Dolsfus preached just a couple weeks before he died concerning the fact that the church will be going through a tribulation probably, and the tribulations that we're just about to enter into, we're probably already partly in the midst of that end times tribulation. And I believe that it is this peace, this settled peace in our hearts, this relationship, this harmony we have with God, that is going to endure any kind of tribulation. I believe that's what our forefathers experienced when they went rejoicing to the stake, burned to the stake, and in various forms of persecution that they experienced. I believe it was this peace, this underlying peace with God, this harmony with God, that was completely, and it gave them that satisfaction in their soul that they could endure anything, that they could endure anything. And I believe it's that same harmony, that same peace that's going to that we're going to endure in the future, in whatever lies before us. We don't know what's going to be before us. We don't know what those things might be. We know that the people that are in control of the government have very little respect for biblical truth and biblical principles. And we don't know how long we're going to have the liberty to worship and to live our lives in a way that we would We believe God wants us to. We don't know how long that's going to be. It may be very, may not be very long, but we can have that satisfaction in our soul that that peace of God will keep us, that we can endure anything. We can endure anything for God. I believe that God is going to, he's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us in every situation. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise God. But he says, we will have tribulation in the world. We shall have tribulation. So that, but he spoke these promises to us that we will have peace. That's his burden. That's his passion. That's his goal. His whole heart is that we have peace, that we are at peace in our heart, that we experience that peace. That's why he's the Prince of Peace, because it's all about him giving peace, establishing our peace with the Almighty Maker. "I have spoken these things that ye might have peace." The things that he did, the life that he lived, the teachings that he gave, and the sacrifice that he gave, his one purpose was that we might have peace, that we have that peace that passes all understanding. Peace shines its brightest during our darkest hours, during our times of tribulation, suffering, and sorrow. The peace of God remains steadfast and unmovable. It carries us through the dark valleys. It gives us hope that the sun will shine again, and most of all, confirming in our hearts that eternal peace and bliss is our destiny. I believe that's God's heart for us today, that even in the darkest hours of our life, that peace shines bright. That peace of God, it radiates bright. It shines its brightest in the darkest hours. We can know that God is there. We can know that he's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. I know many of you probably think, I know you, many of you have expressed that you feel bad for me because I go home to an empty house and no one's there and I'm alone. But you know what? You know what? I love going home because it's my place of peace. It's my place of peace and rest. And that peace is there. I mean, I miss my wife. Yes, I miss my wife, and I'm lonely. But there's peace there. And there's something about just being at home, being there. It's my place of peace. It's a place of where God ministers to me in a very, very special way. And it's a beautiful experience to be in God. In God's will, in harmony with God, resting in his peace. In every situation. In Isaiah chapter 43, another verse, says, "O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." We heard that last night in the song. "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. neither will the flame kindle upon thee. For I am thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. When thou walkest through the fire, when we go through the rivers, whenever we go through the difficult times, he says, I will be there. I will be with you. And I will protect you. I will take care of you. And I find those promises to be so real. I find those promises to be so precious to me. And we have the storm. Jesus and his disciples, when they went out through, wanted to go to the other side of the lake. They went in this, got in the storm, and the storm was beating on the ship, and it was dangerous, and everyone was fearful. But Jesus, he spoke peace to the storm. He said, "Peace be still," and the storms were settled. Jesus was not fearful. He's not fearful of the storm. He's not fearful of the circumstances around him. He is in control. He has it all in his control. And he has our lives in his control. And Jesus is able to speak peace to the storms in our life. Jesus is able to bring peace when the storms get rough, when it gets scary, when it looks dangerous, when it's dangerous. We look to God, and he speaks peace to our hearts. He speaks peace to our situation. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Then there's that precious verse in Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. The peace of God, it passes understanding. It is beyond our comprehension. It's something we cannot explain. We cannot comprehend it. We cannot grasp it. It is reality. It is beautiful. It is powerful. But it's beyond our human comprehension. The peace of God, the peace that comes by Jesus Christ. It shall keep your hearts and it shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm so glad this morning that God is able to keep us, to provide for us, to protect us, to care for us in every way. I believe that peace in our hearts is also affects our relationships together. I believe peaceful heart will result in peaceful relationships. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I believe that when brethren can live together in peace and harmony, it's a beautiful thing. When the heart is at peace with God, a heart that is at peace with God will be the one that is at peace with his brothers and sisters and his neighbors and his friends and in the community. I believe that there will be peace in our relationships whenever we have peace in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I believe that is the heart of a child of God that is at peace with God, would endeavor to live together in harmony with his brothers and sisters. We would endeavor to live together with his unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, forbearing one another, living together and getting along. That doesn't mean that we're always going to agree about everything all the time, but I believe there's a peaceable way to to live together and to get along together. I believe there's a peaceable way where we can relate together, even in our differences. I believe that differences do arise, but I believe that sometimes there's a peaceable way to respond to these kind of situations. Sometimes it's best to just be still before God and wait on God and give the situation over to God and let Him work it out instead of trying to defend ourselves and trying to prove our point and to get our way in everything that we do. We need to lay down ourselves and our preferences sometimes for the sake of others. If it be possible, Romans says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I believe the only way that we can do that is when we have that peace in our hearts. We have that peace from God. And I believe that it will be our desire to have peace with our relationships, in our relationships with our fellow men. If it be possible, as much as lies within us, live peaceably with all men. I know maybe it's not always possible, but I believe we can give up ourselves and give up our wills, give up our preferences sometimes for the sake of peace. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Don't insist on getting even. It's not for you to do. God said, I will be the judge. Let me take care of that. God will take care of those differences. God will judge between the right and the wrong. God will take care of the justice. I believe that we can give ourselves and give up our will, give up ourselves for the sake of peace and for the sake of God, and let God work things out to bring relationships together and to bring peaceful relationships in our lives. I believe that would be the heart of God, that we could walk together in peace, live together in peace and harmony with one another, that God would be glorified with our life. Again, thinking about the future, the things that we face in the future, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, there's a verse. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's a beautiful verse. It says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. This is God speaking. God speaking, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. I believe it is God's heart. It is God's goal. It's God's passion that we experience peace. He was thoughts of peace. His thoughts, his heart, his goal is that we would have peace with him. There's nothing more in his agenda than to see humankind at peace with him. And that is his whole goal and heart and passion, to see humanity in harmony with him, that there can be a peaceful relationship, and that peace can be our expected end. His goal, it says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. His goal is that he's looking to your end, to the end of your life. He's looking to the final outcome, his goal, his plan. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. And he anticipates our peace. He's not just standing back and saying, if you want peace, it's up to you. He's doing what he can. He's done everything he can to provide peace for you. And he's calling you. And he's providing for you everything that you could possibly experience to have peace with him. He's done his part and more. He's done everything he can do. He has provided everything to fulfill our peace. He has made our peace. And there's nothing that we can do of ourselves to produce that true inner peace in our heart. We cannot generate that kind of peace. We cannot come up with peace in any other way. Jesus is our only peace. There is no other. Man tries to bring peace to their heart by trying to believe that it really doesn't matter. God isn't real. How do I know that God is real? Peace will not come by trying to deny truth. Peace will not come by denying the facts. Peace will only come by reckoning with Jesus Christ. That peace, it has a direct connection with eternity because it is Jesus Christ and he is eternal life. Like I said earlier, the love, joy, and peace, they are I believe that is the triune witness in our hearts that we are, that God dwells with us. I believe it's that the love, joy, and peace that comes from God, that dwells in our hearts, that is the witness to our heart, that God is there. These three aspects of our life will never be diminished in any circumstance of life or in death, but they will only be multiplied when we pass from this life to the next. It will only be much more, much greater, and much better than what we already experience here. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We expect we're going to have tribulation and sorrow, but our experience through it all, there can be peace knowing that we are in God's hands and there is a future with him in heaven. That's the future that we have in him. That's what gives us peace. That's what secures our relationship with him. The fact that we know that it's going to get better. It's going to get great. We've got better days ahead whenever we can be with him for all of eternity. Experiencing love, joy, and peace multiplied many, many times of what we experience here. Nevertheless, we have those that reject that peace. There are those that reject the gift. We have the gift. It's finished. The work is finished. The gift is given. The peace is made. But men reject the gift. Men reject that peace. We can try to pretend that it doesn't bother us. We can think it's more fun to live without Christ. We might even try to believe there is no God. But the turmoil in your heart is witness that God is true. Because there is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. To have no peace is to have no future. To have no peace is to have no future but death and hell. But to know Jesus is to know peace. And to know peace is to know that we have a house prepared for us in heaven where we can be with him throughout all time and eternity, all of eternity. Jesus Christ is Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he's the only source. He's the only source of peace. And that peace can be yours today. Peace can belong to each one of us here today. And I look forward to that time. I look forward in the future when I can be with him. Look forward to that time when I can be there throughout all time and eternity. Just recently, I listened to a testimony of a man by the name of Randy Kay. I don't know if any of you listened to that or not. but it's very inspiring testimony of a man that died. He was clinically dead for 30 minutes. And he was in the presence of Jesus during that time in heaven. I would encourage any of you to listen to that. Listen to that story. It's on YouTube. Randy Kay died and spent time with Jesus. It brought back a lot of memories of the experience that I had about 10 years ago or so. I had somewhat of an after-death experience, it seemed like. It was very similar to what he experienced in some ways, but it wasn't as long and extensive. But I believe that the thing that stood out to me is how he, it was love, joy, and peace. The love and the peace that is so overwhelming and so uncomprehendable. And the thing that was interesting to me was how that he was not able to hardly put it into English words to make people understand what it was like, because it's out of this world. There's no vocabulary to describe it. It's out of this world. It's out of our comprehension. It is the love, the joy, and the peace of eternal life, of heaven. Some of you might be apprehensive about people that died and went to heaven and came back. But he was too. He was a doctor even. He was a doctor and he didn't believe in those kind of things. He believed in Jesus Christ, but he did not believe that people can die and come back, go to heaven and come back again. But he experienced it, and now he can't deny it, but he only gives testimony of the love of God and the reality of heaven and the beauties of heaven, and it's absolutely awesome. And I look forward to that time. I look forward to that time when I can be there, and I rejoice that my wife can be there today and be experiencing those beautiful things in heaven. I just want to challenge every one of us to experience that peace. Outside of that peace, outside of that relationship, with that harmony with God, there's no other way to experience heaven but through harmony with Jesus, with God, through Jesus Christ. That gift that's been provided, that gift that's been given for you and for me. We can experience that peace today, and that peace will carry us through all of time and all of eternity. May God be glorified. It's my desire and my heart to see each one of us experiencing that peace and that power in our life today.